Mr. Bailey, this board table this review until Mr. Bailey is present to make his position clear.
Right.
So you could start with that statement in the minutes, read from the minutes, and then that simply is followed by a statement that Mr. Bailey is present and his position is clear and there's no need to repeat the previous process.
Sure.
It's all in the minutes, and it makes it something that you would do, I don't know, when we talk about our previous minutes.
All right, Tom.
previous recommendations stand. You recommended to the town board for Preston's and Park. Previous recommendations stand for the board. They have to make the decision.
Yeah, the board does.
They're
out of our, it's out of our hands.
Here and now.
Sure.
It's on the last page of the minute. Page 7.
Page 7, right. Okay, table.
Like I'm an outlier.
We will follow our attorney's opinion.
I like that.
That puts him on the record
yes.
in the minutes for this meeting.
Yes.
Mr. Bailey,
you've
been
I hear my mother call.
Nicely following up on the previous statement about the evidence of Mr. Bailey, and now Mr. Bailey and all the grass are present. Okay. You'll be permitted to make any statement for record for this one. We can't go within minutes. So,
okay, I'll make
that.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll try to keep it under 40 minutes. Okay. Now, let's go
through them. All right, let's go through the rest of them then, huh?
Yeah. Thorn Avenue.
Thorn Avenue, they're proposing a parking expansion. They don't require a conservation board, they're below our threshold for that. They're not proposing any lighting, so there's a stipulation that if they are to add lighting in the future, that they should come back to us. Just throughout town, there's been some, you know, some issues with lighting when the residents is abut industrial or business parks, so we just want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence with questions and thoughts about lighting. I put in a stipulation about the fence. I believe they're proposing a 6-foot stockade fence. So I put that parenthesis so you guys can make the determination on what you want to include in the motion there, if anything. But it is abutting a residence, and so they're putting that in out of deference to that residence. We had said at a previous meeting that perhaps they should ask the residents, you know, for input. I don't know if they have or have not. That's a question for you guys. Any
residents selling the property?
No, the one beyond that. I'm sorry, I didn't clarify. So there's the residents that he's selling the back of the house, and then there's the one next door that we directed, like perhaps you should seek their input. They also have the 219 in their backyard, so if it's farther back. No, I'm not saying they don't have a problem with it. I'm just giving you guys the background. So that's where we are with that.
Okay.
Right.
Just briefly returning to California Road for a moment. So we're going to make a secret determination with this unlisted action. And do we see any reason in terms of what's there and do a negative deck, other than a negative deck? Or?
Alex,
Dr. No, Ben? No, we don't see any reason for
that.
So you're proposing a negative deck?
Yeah.
All right.
Great job, guys.
Did we finish the one?
Yes, I believe, unless you have a question.
I have a question that says, a fence shall be erected. That doesn't go into the motion.
No.
Okay.
It's a stipulation that you may or may not want to include with their,
It's already in the site plan.
It's in the site plan, they are removing one. So you may want to include that as a stipulation for your agreement, or not, that's up to you.
So maybe the stipulation that fence has specified in the drawing will be.
Shall be.
Shall be erected.
Shall be installed per the plan.
Right, however you.
The question, when they communicate with the neighbor, make sure that the fence is referenced in the plan is what was agreed upon.
You gotta take that one out?
It's easy enough.
Okay.
All right, we talked about Maple Grove. We talked about Crosby. Orchard Heights is proposing a sign. There was an error, it was my error on the agenda, they do not have a variance, they are grandfathered in. And that was a mistake just because of old record keeping. So they are proposing something that is more conforming than what is currently there, and therefore is allowable, is either compliant with code or very, very close to it, depending on how you do the math. So, one question, overall, more compliant. One thing to note is that they are proposing an internally illuminated sign. Currently, it's an external illuminated sign. So, you know, your opinion on that may vary, and you may want to ask some questions about that. That's the only thing that I found of note in there. Tom, any comments on that one?
No, you said it brilliantly.
Have we unnecessarily in the past had issues with internally illuminated, internal illumination of signage?
I know.
I think we have, but I don't understand why we've had trouble, why we've had issues with internally illuminated signs.
Well, the only ones we had the problem with was the digital signs.
The digital thing.
And we also had.
We don't allow digital signs.
Right.
And we also had a top issue for the gas station on the Wash Plaza, as they're appealing.
So in this case, I think only the letters are illuminated, and that's something you might want to have some questions, you know, to ask the applicant. I assume if you had like a bright flashing sign, that might be a problem for Tom.
If you get less lumen from an internal lit, it can be less intrusive for everyone, the driver, the neighbor.
And that's why I specifically said, have we unnecessarily had issues with internal illuminated signs? I don't understand why we ruined them.
At least 21 years I've been here.
I'm not saying you should have a problem with it, I'm just telling you there was a change in the location.
No, I don't know, I appreciate what you're giving us. I have no problem with this project at all.
So, Mag Center directional signs, so basically there isn't a ton of code on the sides of signs. There's some very limited code for directional signage on things like you can't include a logo, things like that. So there's not a lot to go off of here. You know, I think there was a conversation that has been going on about what should be in code versus what should be up to the discretion of the board. If you wanted to take some of these off or if you want to keep seeing all of them, that would be, you know, Hal, any thoughts on that?
I would be comfortable with, you know, delegating to the building inspector the judgment call as to which one to deal with the appropriate design.
Can we say where it says for planning department review or approval, can we just say in conjunction with the building inspector?
That works.
So, they didn't submit any information on lighting, so that's a question I assume that they're going to up light these because otherwise you wouldn't be able to see them at night when you're driving an ambulance. Seems counterintuitive.
True. Depends on how reflective they are.
Right. Could be they might not be bright. Yes.
I don't know. The visuals on it didn't look like they were going to be lead signs. I mean, they're probably just that green reflective type of material, you know.
Although,
I can't imagine.
Similar to this newer street sign.
Yeah.
It's highly, and if they're red on white.
It's so well lit.
Yeah.
So maybe no lighting at all.
Yeah.
The code correction. the basic premise right now, this is something Dave Holland and I have been working on a little bit, and the basic premise of it is that currently 1.5 stories is, you know, is non-conforming, so think Cape Cod, and that's not a thing that we really, I think anybody intended, but it, you know, just a thing we need to clean up. You know, we're looking for a recommendation. You won't hurt my feelings if you don't recommend it, but we're just looking for a recommendation to the TAM board, and in all honesty, it's going to take Dave and I probably another month to really put it before the TAM board. Nothing substantive will change, but there's a few formatting issues when they transferred the old chart to E-code. Some of those numbers got shifted, but nothing substantive will change beyond what I've already presented to you guys and what you covered before. So any questions on the code change?
Well, the thing is that in terms of making it, it really doesn't say what it is, what you have provided.
It's a change, it's the correction to the section 144.5 terms defined in section 144.15. So it was in this, from the work session, the changes, and I can go over them with you briefly if you. It's,
well, I think they should be made part of the record.
You want to make it part of the.
Yeah, it would have to be part of the record.
It is quite, I mean, it's an extensive, like, it's a small tweak, but it's an extensive change because while we were at it, we cleaned up some definitions and things like that. If you guys want to make it more of a formal included in there, we can. You can try to read all this, or we can try to.
Keep in mind, this is going to the town board.
Yeah, right.
Can we say attached comments? Per attached comments?
Well, these aren't comments. These are really not comments.
They're per attached specifications.
You could specify that it gets added to the minutes. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
And when we say specify that it's added, it says amend current. So how do we describe these two pages?
What's the appendices, right? These are from the appendix.
Yeah, one is there. These are the sections that are amended, and you can say, and you can ask that the body of the text submitted to the board is included in the minutes. Would that make sense? Or the you can add to the motion that what was submitted to this board is included in the minutes. They want it included. The code correction.
Sure.
Yeah.
Included in the motion.
Right. We're trying to figure out how to do it. Oh, included in the motion. Okay, so we'll say we'll include.
So we are comfortable, I think, as a group with the code corrections that were presented to us on the work session last week. And we want to reference those code corrections
so it says,
to be included in the motion.
So it says as follows. So for number one there, we could just say, please copy, you know.
Please motion approving the amendment section of the word in as presented.
As presented, and we'll copy it in.
Will you think it that way, Alex?
You can hear
what I came up with.
Alex? Down, kind of, okay, correlated.
The body of text submitted to the board will be a part of the motion and be included in the minutes.
All right. Is everybody comfortable with that one then? Okay. So then moving on to Lexington Heights, which was formerly known as Birdsong Subdivision Parts 4 and 5. Right now, we are just seeking lead agency status. They're proposing emergency access points at 2 points. The reasoning for that has to do with fire code and green space calculations, which required the Which requires basically the connectivity in order to make it work.
That really doesn't have anything to do with this motion. All we're doing at this point.
This motion, correct. This motion is just making lead agency.
Because that's going to be discussed on the site plan.
Right. And then there's a concept review for Taylor Road. I believe there were a couple concerns with that.
Well, certainly, there are a couple of things. Firstly, clearly, under seeker, that property is be reviewed under the scenic byway for seeker, and is both visible and within 200 feet of 219, which qualifies for the view shed review under seeker. And secondly, it's contiguous to town property, which then makes it automatically a type one.
Who is responsible for the seeker review?
Pardon?
Who is responsible for the seeker review? Is it the planning office?
I mean, ultimately, I would think it's the planning board.
I believe we are.
Like, the planning office may assist, but they make the determination also.
So typically, seeker determinations have come to this board from someone predetermined.
No.
Okay. And a further.
But, you know, there's another issue in terms of, you know, compatibility, location, and there are wetlands areas there, floodplains there, which may or may not be the location of the structure, but there's certainly access.
Found on this property, the adjacent property, there's no floodplain, there's no wetland on the premise for the 3 acres proposed for this warehouse.
How would that work? Would there be double, would there be two methods of access to this property?
Rail, Taylor Road. This is what, this has frontage, it all runs down.
No, of course.
Does the percentage of impervious surface impact the surrounding wetlands?
No. You have to control the stormwater, you have to control your own stormwater before discharge is back to existing rate. But they have submitted, they don't want to submit their contract, right?
No, it's here.
Not involved for me to review that.
So there's things that we want to pay particular attention to, those are things.
There's very close proximity to the residences on Conway Circle there. And I know in the past, when there's been projects proposed in this area, there has been some considerable neighborhood opposition, and then that engages community character.
So if there's anything to add, if, you know, if those are the concerns that we want the applicant to address, that would be appropriate to bring up at a concept review. And they're, you know, of course, going to be carefully considered as we go forward.
You know, like similar properties, engineer recommends a 6 foot by 8 fence. That's the only thing that's not that long.
That may be down the road for the site.
Yeah.
Greg speaking, but I do see a problem far as warehouses that are presented to you guys in the warehouse and does result that, or in this case,
a yard 100%.
That actually belong there. However, they come in and find other uses that are allowed in that zone, and then you guys never see it or know about it. I'm thinking of a gym in my head and one that just causing a lot of trouble. So I don't know if we can question on that or at least try to define what a warehouse is.
Before we begin, everyone had a chance to fill it out.
Oh, Oh, one more thing, just before you guys start. I know I pointed out to a couple of people, I did include a speaker, some information on speaker and holders. If you guys are interested in taking a closer look at speaker going forward, if that might be helpful. I'm sure to some of you, it's just a review, but. Thank you.
Welcome to the November meeting of the Town of Orchard Park Planning Board. There are several ministerial items. First, in terms of safety, should the fire alarm sound, if you proceed to any exit with an illuminated sign and go through that exit, you will see down the corridor a further illuminated exit sign that will take you to the outside of the building for safety. In terms of ethics, should anyone appearing before this board have any family, financial, or business relationship with any member of the board, it is incumbent upon that person to make the relationship known under state law and the town code of ethics.
Lee.
He's a sergeant at arms.
Thank you.
Anyway, our first actions will be ministerial. We have two sets of minutes to review, those being the minutes of the September meeting and the minutes of the September special meeting.
I'd like to make a motion that we suspend the reading of the minutes for the record.
Okay, motion to waive reading of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. In favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. All the ayes are heard. Is there a motion to accept minutes as presented?
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second. Okay, motion second.
Point of order, should we be doing them separate, seeing that they are two separate sets of minutes?
Mr. Bailey?
You can do it either way.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. And now we'll vote. Those in favor of accepting the set of minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Minutes are accepted. We now go to our regular business, and our first item is Planning Board File 2924, 188 Thorn Avenue, and the proposal in this B2 area is an 18 parking lot expansion for the Thorn Avenue Animal Hospital. Can you tell the recorded, maybe problem with that one, and the written record, who you are and where you're from?
Sure. Chris Wood with Kerman Wood Design. We're the engineer for the project. Also with, but, you know.
Joe Paz, owner of Thorn Avenue Animal Hospital.
And there's been some discussion on this before. Can you update us as to where things are right now?
Yep. So when we were here for concepts, same proposal before, we're proposing 18 new parking spots. We have a total of 32 on site when we're done. Currently, their employees park across the street on the last piece of property that they're getting ready to develop. It was before you, maybe a year ago. So they need these for their employees. I believe we have engineering approval. And access is still gonna be off the same driveway. We're not gonna add in the curb cut or anything. And Joe has come to an agreement with the property owner next door to buy this property in the back. We met with him and gave him a copy of what we're doing. They're all good with it, and I believe, I don't know if it's closed yet, but they have it under contract.
The contract's signed, it's not closed yet.
Anybody has any questions? We can move through.
Ella?
Once before, this was before the board, wasn't there a conversation about possibly approaching some of the residents nearby and seeing if they had any issue with the project?
Yes, so I did speak to the people on the other side of 186, I don't know if that 184 maybe, and they're totally fine with everything, especially with the fence, that fence line that we're gonna do. They were happy that we were doing something like that.
We did add a 6-foot fence along the east property line. I think that was something we talked about when we were here last time too.
Is that gonna be a stockade fence or?
Probably vinyl.
Vinyl?
Vinyl, because that'll match what is, I'll show you. Currently these guys have one that goes along here, a white vinyl fence.
Okay.
We're gonna add a new one here and there.
Oh, great. Good. Good stuff.
I guess the questions that I had are pretty much been answered, but.
So understand the dynamics. You guys need the parking for your staff. We have a successful business that's been a mainstay in Orchard Park since I've been here, which is close to 50 years now, right? You've worked out a cooperative agreement with your neighbors, purchased a piece of land, put some visual buffers in there. Your staff is gonna be able to park in a safer area because they don't have to cross a road. You're not intending to put any illumination in that lot, as I understand it.
No lights.
So we have a great example of exercise and good neighbors working together for the betterment of the town. Did I get that right?
Well, Steve said.
Very well.
Very well. You did that my part.
Thank you. I'll send you my bill later.
Thank you.
Okay. Greg. Henry nailed it.
Mr. Chairman, regarding planning board file 29-24, I move to recommend that the town board approve the presented site plan and authorize a building permit to construct an 18 parking spot parking addition based on the site plan that was submitted on 11-6-2024. Number one, all public notices have been filed. Number two, this is an unlisted action based on the short EAF submitted on July 25, 2024, and a negative declaration is made. Three, there is no proposed lighting, and should lighting be added in the future, the applicant is directed to return to the planning board for review. Number four, no additional outside storage or display is permitted. Five, any dumpsters shall be screened in accordance with section 144-25 of the town code. Six, a 6-foot vinyl stockade fence, as indicated in the site plan, will be erected. And seven, town engineering approval was granted on November 7, 2024. I so move.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and second. Is there any discussion on the question? There being none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Only ayes are heard. Motion's carried. Good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Our second item is planning board file 2023, 4038 California Road, Maple Grove Apartments, on the west side of California Road. And tonight, we are responding to the applicant's request for a seeker determination.
Is this the same guy that knocked on the easel?
Yeah. is there anything you want to add relative to make your secret determination?
Oh, we do have a handout that will give you very quickly. We're not going to walk through it point by point. But simply stated, I think everyone knows the history of this project. It started with 80 units back in 2023, ultimately based on some input received from you earlier this year. We scaled it back to, as you can see, 56 units. During your meeting in August, you approved the number of units per building, elevations. I think we've done all the requisite studies, meaning we have a report, there's no weapons on the site. We've done a traffic impact study, no negative comments, and then we can come back from that. We're showing a plan with substantial landscaping that's been approved by the Conservation Board. It is an unlisted action pursuant to the State Environmental Water Review Act. So in summary, we think you're in a good position now based on the revised layout to issue a negative declaration. I would also note one of the concerns that came up originally was the proximity of buildings to California. based on input received from this board, I think it was specifically Mr. Kaser, as you know, we moved it back from the road. Mr. Romanowski has a very successful track record for multifamily projects, not only in the town of Orchard Park, but other municipalities throughout Western New York. So with all that being said, we think we're in a position that you could issue a negative declaration, but of course, we welcome any questions that you may have.
I believe at this point, two of our members have been looking into the seeker aspect of this, actually, Dr. Gunn. And I would ask them to lead our response and
share
their question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion regarding Planning Board file number 2023 Maple Grove Apartments, a 54-unit multifamily project. I move to recommend the following that the Planning Board declare this as a unlisted seeker action based on the submitted short EAF, and a negative declaration shall be made with no stipulations.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the question or any points of information?
Just a comment on the motion. I think Alex and Doctor have done an extensive amount of research into this project and how seeker may affect it. And while they didn't detail all their findings to the body, I'm very comfortable with the results and their recommendation.
The only thing I would ask Dr. Bennett, it is based on a long, part one of the long form EAF, who gave you that extra documentation, rather than short form.
Shall I change it?
You want to amend the motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Will you second the amended motion?
Second to the amendment.
Okay.
Yes. So.
So it's simple one EAF.
Yes. This is a unlisted seeker action based on the submitted long EAF.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Again, any other discussion on the question?
I think we've had such a comprehensive review of this over the last several months, and you've been very cooperative in terms of our expectations and making changes to the project.
Let me call for the vote. And that being those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. There are only ayes heard. You are now with your secret determination.
Thank you very much.
I look forward to seeing you on your site. Third item relates to Crosby's at 4297 and 4309 Abbott Road, located on the southeast corner of Abbott and Figtree. And you may not need to put anything up at this point. At our October meeting, there were some questions which, at the request of Mr. Hopkins, we tabled the review until our counsel, Mr. Bailey, could be here to respond. And Counselor Bailey feels that there is no need for this board to do anything further. It is done the job.
We agree with that. Now, the documentation I handed out summarizes the reasons why, and I do appreciate Mr. Bailey taking time out of his schedule since last month's meeting to go over and discuss them. And obviously, this project does still require site plan approval, so we'll be back in front of you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. So there is no other action for us to take on Crosby.
No, that is correct.
No, no other action.
We'll be back in the future on this in connection with depending on the request for site plan approval.
Our next item would be Orchard Heights Senior Living. Is there someone here representing?
Yes,
there
is. How are you?
I seem to recall you from before.
I have been here before, yes. I got a couple of slides for you to share if you would like.
Building one?
The ladies down here.
Okay. Apparently you, had a variance for a somewhat larger sign.
Yes.
And you know, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I like your sign.
Thank you. So, good afternoon, everyone. Benji Croom with Flexloom Sign Company, representing, our customer, Orchard Heights. So what we're looking to do is take the current monument sign, that is sitting next to the road. It currently has, uplights on it, and we're going to replace it with a larger, monument sign. It's going to have a brick facade. It is going to be internally illuminated. We're going to put, the letters or the numbers on it as well, and they're going to be also internally illuminated. So that way, hopefully, folks, especially first responders driving down the road, can find the, entrance to the facility much easier, as well as anyone visiting or residents, for that matter. The goal, for this is to just, improve the look of the, sign at the roadway, make it more inviting, and then give the community something nice to look at as they're driving by. The current one is kind of older, not really, upkept, so we're just looking to give a very significant upgrade.
In terms of signage issues, we look to our building inspector.
The only comment is, I just did look up the, I looked up the original Wild Building Permit, and, this one actually is,
the new sign doesn't, go over, it doesn't reach the height of the original sign. It's less than that, and it's less than in the, Orchard Heights area. It's less intrusive than the original sign.
So essentially, it is smaller than the sign for which the variance was issued.
Yes.
I guess, just for any questions, correct me.
We heard the term that it's more conforming with our requirements for signage.
Yes.
And can you just explain a little more about that?
So with the, sign, face where the words are, it's what, trying to remember, Tom, it's about 5 or 8 square feet smaller than what the code allows for.
And that being the internally lit portion?
No, that's just for the, that's for the face that says Orchard Heights Senior Living.
I see.
Not necessarily the illuminated number. I don't think that's considered signage, that's considered labeling the house number for, notification purposes. Yeah. So with it being internally lit, it's definitely not going to have any potential for light shining in eyes, for people going down the road as currently might exist. Like I said, it's uplit, so, you know, you may catch it at the right angle. If you're staring at the light, you could potentially get, blinded, whereas this sign does not. So internally lit, in my opinion, is the safer way to go, which makes it more.
So the lettering will be translucent then?
Only the letters are. Yep. Right. So it's going to be, a aluminum panel with, acrylic backing underneath, so the letters will be cut out, and then the acrylic back will go inside that, and then the light will shine through the acrylic.
Yep. The questions that Craig asked were, basically, I echo them. I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
Is this going to be on the exact site?
Yes, we're going to take down the current monument sign. We're going to use the existing electrical that is there for the lights, and we're going to tie it all in together and put it right exactly where it's at.
How far off the main drive is located?
Off the roadway?
Off the roadway, right.
So I want to say it was 25 feet off, not counting the right of way.
Okay, good. That's good. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, cars go off the road and you
know,
the sign. Okay.
Yeah. Not as close as the mailbox.
Right.
Yes, much farther than the mailbox. Yes.
David, did you wish this?
I can. Okay. Regarding Planning Board File 38-24, I would move to grant sign permit requested based on the submitted plan received on 10-17-24
with the following conditions. One, all public notices have been filed. Number two, this is a type two seeker action and therefore no determination of significance is required. Three, one sign is approved and permitted by section 144-37B1. Number four, the sign is internally illuminated. The plan provides sign dimensions and further details. The location of the sign is shown on the submitted sketch plan dated 10/17/24. Number five, a permit fee shall be paid in accordance with section 144-70A1.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the question? There being none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. No nays are heard. On the ayes, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck with your project.
Thank you.
We have another somewhat different sign issue as our fifth item, and this relates to the University Ambulatory Care Center. Is there someone here yet representing the project? Tell the recorded and written record who you are and where you're from.
Chad Radichek from Catholic Health.
So ambulances have been hitting your...
Ambulances and other vehicles are coming in and hitting the canopy. So we need to put a tube knocker at the entrance of the drive that takes you to the canopy. And then we would like to add six wayfinding signs for the ambulances. Actually, two of them are existing, but just outdated and poor shape. So it's actually the addition of four new ones and the replacement of two others. The signage more in line with our current standards.
What's a tube knocker?
You've seen them at drive-thrus, I'm sure, like restaurants, fast food. So
they suspend from the ceiling, and they may say, six foot eight, something like that.
Okay.
Is the intent to redirect a taller than the knocker permit vehicles that wouldn't fit to a different location? Is that the reason for the signage?
So they don't enter that drive that takes them to the canopy. They can park anywhere else.
And that's the intent of the
To prevent the canopy from being hit. And ambulances, for some reason, have gone there also. I mean, it says emergency, and if it's a new driver or something, they don't know that they need to go around to the back. So we're trying to direct them from the Taylor entrance and the Southwestern to go as efficiently as possible to the back entrance for the ambulances.
But what about illumination?
They're not illuminated. They're just reflected. Very similar to the existing wayfinding signage that's there.
Well, I had misunderstood. So the ambulance is a knock on wood. I have not had the opportunity to ride one in quite some time. But their drop-off location for patients is at the rear of the building, not at the front. So it's to make sure the ambulances get to the proper location to bring a patient.
Correct, yeah.
And secondarily, we want to try to save your canopy.
Correct. There have been other vehicles besides ambulances that have hit it.
Sure.
I have no questions in regard to this. I think, obviously, they know what they need in that area. They know what the problems have been. They've come up with a solution that they feel, can rectify the situation. And I mean, what the signage is going to be, it really has no impact on anybody other than somebody who's on the property. Which, of course, it's an emergency facility. We want to make sure that everyone is serviced as fast and safely as possible.
That getting to the emergency room doesn't create another emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So.
Mr. Meyer, any co-issues with
this? No, I would just like to say, while without emblems or without advertisement, it stays under the full discretion of this board. So just a reminder, we can get the same as the representation if you really good.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Please do.
Okay. Regarding the planning board 42-24, I would move to grant the sign permit request based on the submitted plan received on 10/31/24. And the following conditions apply. This is a type 2 seeker action, therefore no determination of significance is required. Number two, six signs are approved and permitted by section 144-37B1. The signs are not illuminated based on the submitted sketch plan. If the sign is to be illuminated, a lighting plan shall be submitted to the plan department for approval in conjunction with the building inspector, which we've already determined they're not going to be illuminated. The plan provides sign dimensions and further details. The location of the sign is shown on the submitted sketch plan dated 10/31/24. Number four, a permit fee shall be paid in accordance with section 144-70A1. And number five, the signs shall be located in such a way that they do not impede the view of drivers.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion on the question? There being none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Only ayes are heard. Congratulations, and hopefully you'll go for it.
Thank you very much.
Our next item relates to a ministerial issue, and it relates to correcting a provision of town code in terms of some detail. I will defer to the
Mr. Chairman, I'll be willing to make motion.
Please.
Planning Department recommends that the Planning Department, or the Planning Board recommends the Planning Department and Building Department proceed with a correction to section 144-5, terms defined, and section 144, attachment 15 of the Town Code, and recommend its adoption by the Town Board with the following comments. One, the body of text submitted to the board will be added as part of the motion and be included in the minutes.
I'll second that. Or Henry,
I will offer a second.
Which is not to carry the motion, but no intention to go through the motion. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. All the ayes are heard. Motion is carried. Folks, do what you need to do. The final regular business item is Lexington Heights, which the intention would be that it was formerly known as Birdsong Park 4 and 5. At this point in time, I think we are just looking at going for a lead agency here?
We are, but we'd also like to give you a project update. Only because we were last here in March and there's been a lot of changes since then.
Okay.
Jeez. I think they get paid by the sheet that they copy.
We made them big.
We made them big because some of us can't read.
I don't even need my readers for this.
We will want to look at this in great detail and
right.
Key issues, but I think firstly we need to transact the issue at hand, which is speaking to the agency. Do you mind if we do that?
No, if you do that first, that would be fine.
And then we'll be happy to hear a short summary of what's been updated.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I am prepared to make a motion regarding Lexington Heights, Planning Board File 36-2024. I move that the Planning Board seek lead agency status based on the poll seeker submitted on 9/18/2024.
Second.
Motion second. Is there any discussion on the process?
Only that when we turn this back over to the applicant, that they remember brevity is next to godliness.
Yes. Shall we move that to motion? those in favor Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. All the ayes are heard. Tell us a little bit more, but bear in mind, we need to keep it brief because there will be a lot of things to discuss.
Right.
And those need to be discussed under site plan.
Right. And again, we want to give you a comprehensive update just because a lot has changed. You have not looked at this project since your meeting in March. Ultimately, it went to the town board for a public hearing, and we presented an updated plan to the town board work session. And then we've had the opportunity to meet again with the HOA and discuss the updated plan. I know there's at least one member of the HOA here this evening. If you want to express their, our gratitude for them being willing to discuss this project with us. So with that being said, I think we all know the history of this project, or we all are somewhat familiar with it. It actually began back in the early 1990s. Mr. Capretto bought the remainder of the undeveloped portions in approximately 2016. And if you go to the third slide, you'll see the overall plan. This was the overall plan from 2010. There's a total of 540 acres here. What was approved at that time was 429 lots. As a result of the most recent changes, we've reduced that density to 406 lots. And that's come through a variety of changes, including eliminating Part 6 and Part 7. And then if you go to the next slide, I think all of you will recall that Part 8 was also a CMO, there along Freeman and Jewett Homewood. And based on input received, we're getting rid of that CMO. That CMO is no longer part of this project, and that resulted in a big reduction from 23 lots to the 6 lots that are shown on that plan prepared by GPI. Go to the next slide.
Sean, does that mean that you eliminated that that will be not developed?
It will be developed as 6 lots. So do you see the plan there?
Yeah, okay.
So just 6 frontage lots. Again, was already approved for 23 lots. We'll explain why we made these changes. You can skip the next slide to show that the site is R1. And then the next slide after that, that's titled History of the Review of the Proposed CMO. I just want to reemphasize that during your meeting on March 14th, you issued a negative declaration by unanimous vote, and you actually did recommend the town board approve the requested CMO for what was then limited to Part 5 of the project. We had the opportunity to meet with the Birdsong HOA on April 18th. Town board held a public hearing on May 1st, went back to the town board with some changes during its meeting on August 14th. We submitted an updated CMO application on September 16th, and again, we had a second meeting with the HOA on October 9th. And most recently, we responded to a comment letter issued by the planning department dated October 8th. If you go to the next slide, this is the exact plan that you were looking at in March of this year. At that point in time, what we're proposing in terms of the Part 5 CMO was basically 86 clustered lots on 63.7 acres. You'll also note that at that time, there were 3 separate roadway connections to the existing Birdsong subdivision. All of those at that time would have consisted of public roads. There would have been 3 public roadways. Go to the next slide. And that's just showing the overall plan, same thing. And at that time, we only had 1 access onto Transit Road as well. So at that time, 3 roadway connections to Birdsong, 1 publicly accessible roadway to Transit. And then if you turn to the next slide, which is titled CMO Plan Presented to the Town Board during its work session on August 14th, the biggest concern that the HOA raised in connection with the previous plan was several things. But the biggest concern was, number 1, 3 roadway connections. They did not like the fact that there was 3 roadway connections. Number 2, they didn't like that we were calling this Parts 4 and 5 of the Birdsong subdivision. They asked us to consider rebranding it so it would clearly be separate and distinct. And then we developed this updated plan dated August 14th. What we're showing now is very similar to what we're going to present on the current plan, is Part 4 has also been converted to a CMO. That results in 125 acres versus the 63 before, 129 CMO lots, results in substantially more green space. So we go all the way up to 81.9 acres,
which is literally 66% of that actually proposed CMO. We've added a second access point to Transit Road. You see that brown circle located on the bottom port. And then the total green space for the overall bird zone would now be all the way up to 198 acres. As a result of that wide range of changes that have been made over the course of the past few years. If you go to the next slide, which is titled CMO Plan Presented to the HOA during its meeting on October 9th. So when we went to the HOA meeting on October 9th, we showed this plan. The important aspect of this plan is it eliminated any connections to the Birdsong subdivision. No connections whatsoever to the Birdsong subdivision, but again, two driveway connections out to Transit Road. Go to the next slide. We can skip over that. We can skip over the next slide. You guys will have a chance to take a look at this before the next meeting. And then go to the plan date. It's called Current CMO Plan Dated October 31st, 2020. So based on the comment letter that was issued by the engineering department, that also contained comments from the building department, based on a meeting that we held with various town officials, we thank Mr. Grabitsky for being there, and others, on October 30th, we went back to the drawing board once again. What we did was this. We had previously suggested the name of Wellington Heights. We were advised there's already a subdivision, a roadway that has a similar name. So we changed the name once again. So the project under its current format would be called Lexington Heights. Based on the comments from the building department, we added two, and this is important, gated and locked emergency access connections the existing Birdsong subdivision. You can see those highlighted in brown. And I want to reiterate again, based on my conversation with Kevin Miller, the president of the HOA today, it still remains the HOA's preference that there not be any emergency access connections. Their second preference is there be one, and then third, what we're currently proposing, which is two gated emergency access connections. We've added snowplow turnarounds based on input received from Mr. Ostrander during that meeting. And one thing that's very important to the HOA is they want 100% assurance that if there are these gated and locked emergency access connections, that they will never be converted into public roadways. We've agreed to that, and ultimately if the project is approved, we would report a declaration of restrictions at the Erie County Clerk's Office, saying at no point in time in the future, regardless who owns the parts 4 and 5, those roads will never be connected. We were asked to show the conceptual location of the Santa Carey Sewer Pump Station. We've added that. It'll be located between lots 122 and 123. And finally, Mr. Ostrander requested that we have paved access to the stormwater ponds. So we've added that at various locations between lots 94 and 95, 96 and 97, 76 and 77, and then the last 85 to 101. Again, ultimately, all these plans will be subject to engineering review. And then the next series of slides, all they do is demonstrate that under the CMO code, we're still in compliance, meaning we're meeting the 50 acres, we're meeting the front yard and rear yard setback. Our maximum density now, as a result of that further reduction, is less than one lot per acre. We're all the way down to 0.8, or even if we use the methodology suggested by the building department, which would subtract wetlands, we're at approximately 0.9. We still have buffer strips all the way around the property and along Transit Road. We meet the minimum area requirements for lots, which are 8,500 square feet. And we have front yard setback of 30 feet. The minimum width, the zoning code for a CMO lot allows 60 feet. We're showing 70 feet. We want to make sure we have adequate room for this. All the infrastructure will be private, which is good news to the town. You do not allow the CMO to consist of condominium form of ownership, and we're well aware of that. So ultimately, we think, based on the input we received since we were last here in March, that we've made some substantial changes that are for the benefit of everyone. Again, we appreciate the HOA working very closely with us and will be involved with additional communications as this moves forward. And then finally, from a seeker perspective, everything is reduced. Traffic is reduced, wetland impacts are reduced, the amount of impervious surface is reduced, green space is increased, et cetera, et cetera. So if you look at this closely, we think ultimately when it comes time for you to issue a secret determination, that there's even more justification to issue a negative declaration now than there was back during your meeting on March 14th. So you've authorized commencement of a lead agency. I did tell Mr. Miller, the president of the HOA, who was not available this evening, that I'd give him an update. I know this is a lot of information to take in. So all we're asking you to do this evening is table this project until your December meeting. I'm hoping that Mr. Miller will be at that meeting. He can speak on behalf of the HOA. We'll leave you with the presentation, obviously, and over the course of the next month, if you have any questions, we'll be prepared to discuss those during your next meeting. Dave, what are we thinking currently in terms of the prices of these homes?
I would say probably close to the 800,000.
Yeah, so over time, obviously, construction costs have gone up, et cetera, et cetera. So the only reason we're saying that is these will have comparable, if not more, value than the existing homes within the Birdsong subdivision. One other point. One of the concerns that was raised by the HOA during the public hearing held by the town board this summer was that putting new traditional homes in here could affect the value of their homes, meaning if a prospective purchaser has the opportunity to purchase a more traditional home, a new home on the site, versus in the existing Birdsong subdivision, that may take away from the demand if someone in the existing Birdsong subdivision wants to sell their house. So obviously that has been addressed as well, because these will be different. They'll be targeted to people that want to live, generally speaking, on one floor. They will be smaller. The HOA will take care of snow plowing, landscaping, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a different product with a different name. And again, the only connections to the existing Birdsong subdivision today are two gated and locked emergency access driveways. If there's any questions, obviously.
I would guess that, you know, looking at the subsequent plan, that the discussion in terms of questions and items and stuff could be very, very lengthy.
Sure.
And yeah, I think we've transacted our business. We see that you made some major changes. And, you know, my suggestion is that we table the discussion in detail for the next meeting.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. We just want to give you a comprehensive update. Again, you have a lot of material that you could look at prior to the next month's meeting.
I'll make a motion to table.
Second.
There's a motion to second to table.
What do we table?
Well, quite frankly,
there's nothing to table.
There's not an agenda item to table. We'll just discuss it next year.
Yeah, that's fine. You've adopted the lead agency resolution.
Yeah, that's
I don't think any further action is needed.
For the sake of it.
If you want to, go ahead. I don't think there's anything to table.
There's nothing to table. I think
it's a great
resolution.
Yeah.
No, move on.
Okay.
Very good. John is our oracle.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
So if I may, as Chris is setting up students out there, there's a lot of you tonight. We have one more discussion item that really is a discussion item, and then that breaks up. You can come up to any of the folks here at the front table, any of the, what did you say? He's fine, and we'll be happy to sign off for it.
Bring your own lamp. Appreciate it.
I just want to know if I didn't print these handouts either. Like this.
Obviously not, the only one page.
He's a man of few words.
Sean, you paid by the time.
Yeah, by the time. Or by the sheet.
Yeah.
At this point, if you can give a very, very brief explanation.
I'm gonna let Chris talk, so.
And the board members will express some concern, and some thoughts. You may wanna take into account in your decision on, you know, what to do and where to go.
Yeah.
So, give us the 3-minute summary.
3 minutes.
Bailey, you'll go.
Can you time me?
Yes, I'll run the clock, I got it.
I got it.
Don't worry.
I got it, sorry. Sorry, we're just running.
So, Chris Wood with Pyramid Wood Design, also with me, Sean Hopkins. What we're proposing is a flex warehouse type development for 7,500 square foot buildings. Again, flex warehouse in this case is, it would be rented by the bay, overhead door and a man door, you could rent more than one bay. But they're intended for the use of, small landscape companies, plumbing companies, any type of thing that doesn't have a need for a huge, you know, facility for themselves. They can rent these individual bays. Zone DR, I just wanna point out, the town actually rezoned this themselves to DR, it was zoned residential.
And the applicant at that point was not in favor of that.
Right. In DR, 15% green space is required, we're providing 38% green space. In DR, there's a larger setback required from residential, and in the rear, that's 60 feet, and we're meeting that setback. And they point out too that that is also across the ditch, so there's a ditch between us and the detention basin for the residential development to the northeast. And I was here for the work session, so I would agree with Tom that we would provide some kind of stockade or vinyl fence along the rear property line between us and the neighbors. Access for the project will be from Taylor Road. We have ample distance from the underpass of the 219 to accommodate that. Again, Taylor Road is a county road, so we'll have to get approval from them on the curb cut.
Just a couple of things.
Okay.
I think first off, you border public land, and that would automatically make this entire block safer. The issues, you know, nearby in terms of wetlands, but I think, you know, at least in my mind, there's an issue with the seeker relative to view shed and scenic byways. And Route 219, I believe, beginning at Mile Strip and running through 28 is a scenic byway. And I've done some rough computations from the map. The seeker code relative to that is either within 200 feet or in view shed, so there would be a scenic byway test and full workbook, which the DEC has developed relative to scenic byways. The other issue is previous projects in this location have had the same kind of neighbor turnout as you're experiencing in, you know, what would be the equivalent of Birdsong area, and there's been some opposition. I don't see the pond on the map.
Our detention basins are in the front.
And the pond coming off of Conway.
There is our proposed detention basin?
Well, there's a detention basin now.
Behind.
Right, that's on the map.
That's where it is.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the town line.
And that was installed in connection with the subdivision.
Right.
Some of you were involved.
And there's also, well, you know, those would be, I think, 3 concerns that you would have to look at in feasibility and practicality and cost.
We did as part of the application submit the wetland delineation that was done by your dimensions that shows, you know, in the portion that we're developing, there's no regular wetland. Just to point that out.
And then the second thing I want to come back to, Chairman Kubinski, is I believe there was a comment that this is a type 1 action.
that would be.
Why?
Anything contiguous to public land is type one?
No, again, the threshold is reduced to 25%. The threshold being, yeah, it's, I don't believe it'll be type one, I'll look, but it's not just because it affects the public land.
That typically was how it read before.
Okay, not in the state regulations.
That's how I read it.
Okay, well, we'll address that. And again, it's gonna require an environmental review nonetheless.
I'll throw in my two cents now.
Sure.
Okay, I'm not in favor of the project, okay, only because of this. It was zoned industrial, and I think we all recognize the fact that Orchard Park, as far as community goes, has the least amount of industrial space available out of all the south towns. And the reason being is that a lot of the industrial land was used to build other things on it. It was rezoned, okay. And lately, it seems they did change the zoning on this, and the whole idea was to get a business in there and give it a little bit more leeway as to what type of business could be put on that property. And what we're seeing now is this type of property, whether it's industrial or it's the DR, they're putting up big warehouses, which is not a business. I mean, we can argue that out, but the whole idea was to have a functional business there, not where people come and go that they just store their equipment, but have an actual business there that employed people in good professions to benefit the community. And we're eating away at it by doing this. Now, this isn't the first time that this has been done. We did it on Benzing Road, which I personally think it was a big mistake to do that. We're doing it on Thorn Avenue in the village, the same thing. How many more warehouses we're gonna put up? We want businesses to come into the community. And I'm not saying businesses are knocking at our door every day, but I think we gotta be a little bit smarter as to how we are utilizing our property that is available. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, I know I speak also for the Economic Development Committee, because with the number of issues we've had where we've recommended to the board about some properties, including the one which I'm happy we're going forward with, to use that even to rezone it as industrial, which they elected not to. But I think we gotta start looking at these properties and use them for the right reasons for the community. And if you look at some of the businesses that are here, a regular business being put on there would reflect what's in that area right now, you know? So I mean, that's my opinion.
I mean, we've done a lot of these in the north towns, and what the owners have found is they're almost like incubators for, you know, smaller companies that end up renting larger facilities that the other property owners have. You know, this is a place for them to start, I guess. Yeah. Be it a roofing company, a plumber, a landscape guy.
And the only other thing I would note, again, your point's well taken, Mr. Kaser, is it is zoned for this. You know, the zoning classification allows it to use. My client owned this land for 3 decades, I believe. And, you know, obviously, if they could attract what I would call a commercial retail business, those would pay much more rent. To date, that's never occurred. You know, ultimately, we want to do something here, because if we don't, it will ultimately, at some point in time, all be well.
Yeah. And I think if you had a regular business there,
if we have a jurisdictional charge. Yeah.
If you had a regular business there, you'd probably have a 9-to-5 business, or maybe if you had a manufacturing, maybe there'd be a little bit more noise. But these people over here, the reason they're gonna be complaining is you're gonna have, if you're talking about a bunch of landscapers and using that facility, they're gonna be going in and out with their equipment, they're gonna be starting it up, they're gonna be checking it. I don't think they're gonna be very appreciative of this type of a project right next to this beautiful, you know, development.
And we understand that, you know, at some point the public's gonna chime in on this.
But if I had somebody to pick to do this project, you guys would be the ones I'd want to do it. No, because I know you guys do quality work. I'm not, but I mean, sometimes we've got to look at it and say what's best for the community.
Right.
Not only the community as a whole, but the people that are around that part of the community.
Right. I know you're part of the Economic Development Committee in the town. I mean, if you guys ever do come across somebody looking for a property or something, I mean, let us know. We do have a lot of clients that have vacant land that would do something more substantial if there was the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
my two cents would be simply to echo what Mr. Kruger was saying. Go through the floor.
Just as a side note, I think this was possibly before there was a change in the zoning. There had been a very similar idea for that piece of property as far as putting.
I brought a mini storage for him.
Mini storage, yeah. You know where that went?
It was owned DR still, but mini storage is specifically.
Was it DR then?
Yeah.
Yeah, mini storage isn't permitted in that.
And prior to that, there was some issue with someone looking to come in with some kind of a, before the zoning was changed, with some kind of residential.
It was a multi-family project. Mr. Orfield was the chair of the zoning board.
Interesting project.
But on the other hand, the site didn't suit the project. Gentlemen.
We'll take that input back to our client, and I guess what we would ask is this be tabled for your December meeting.
No action needs to be taken.
Oh, that's right, no action, it's just a concept.
However, I will offer one action as a motion to adjourn our meeting this evening. Students, come on up.
Everyone have a good Thanksgiving.
What do you think? Should we just, are they gonna adjourn now?
They did.
They did?
They come up.
Is my turn with this? Okay.
Yes.
I'm not signing anything.
I know exactly where.
How many of these we do?
Thank you. Are you done with these?
What?
Your last one? So one more. Get up to the back. Thank you.